adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben.
Hi.
Not Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is still in New York chasing around that very elusive nickel. I picture it just rolling down Fifth Avenue, and Drew just bent over, running, chasing us, as it's being pulled like on a proverbial string, and Drew just chasing that nickel through Manhattan. So Dr. Ben is here. Dr. Ben has filled in with us many a time. He does a fine job. He's no Dr. Bruce, but nobody wants to be Dr. Bruce, so that's a good thing. This is Mike. Yeah, get up on that mic there.
Okay,
yes, turn him up.
All right.
All right. There you go.
Now
Chris, Donna D'Errico is our guest tonight, too. Donna, of course, you know from Baywatch and Playboy and many, many other endeavors involving boobs and some ass. And also some fine, legitimate acting work as well. Good to see you, Donna.
Good to be here.
Donna's a friend of the show, but we've not seen Donna in quite some... It's been some years now, has it not?
Has it been years?
Well, it feels like
it
too long.
It does feel like it's been, yeah, a while. Last time I was in with Nikki, I think.
Here's what something. I figured out when you see ugly people, it feels like you saw them just the other day.
Right.
And when there's good-looking people, it seems like it's been decades, even though it may have just been weeks ago. So, yeah, married to Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue. You guys still married?
Yeah.
Everything's good there?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Excellent, yeah. Lots of kids.
Yeah. Really?
Are there,
yeah.
Are there kids?
How many kids you got?
Five.
Five? All out of you?
No, two out of me.
All right.
But they all live with us all the time.
Jesus.
Wow, five
Christ.
Kids.
Yeah, that's a lot of people running around.
I'm expecting my first in a month. That's great.
Hey,
really?
Wow, cool.
Yeah. Wow. No, I didn't know about that.
You haven't seen her? So.
Yeah.
She's big. She's getting there.
Wow. I'm always... I don't know what it is about me. It's probably being an a-hole or something. But I always feel like a chimp around kids and pregnant moms and stuff. You know, like chimps are always like sort of curious and they're sniffing, but they're a little bit scared too. And it's kind of freaks them out a little bit. Like I'm always weird when you know, the woman, she's 9 months, she pulls the shirt right up, everyone's touching the belly and stuff. I feel kind of like I'm going like, don't get away or don't touch her or leave her alone. And then it's always like, we got video of the no, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know why it feels. The whole thing feels sort of scary intimate to me. Like, it's good that you're having a kid. Call me for the bar mitzvah.
Right.
I'll be over here.
Exactly.
I don't need to... I'll come by. I'll say, kid looks great. I don't want to see any videos or stretch marks. Don't tell me about the C-section or any of the weird
stuff.
It'd
be different if you...
It would?
I'm sure it would be.
Yeah.
No, I think I'll be fine with my kid, but I think when I was a kid, I went to some hippie school and somebody pregnant came in, and they made all the kids like put the ear to the chick's belly.
Interesting.
And I think I was like 10, and I think I got weird.
Weirded you out, yeah.
Yeah, I got weird. That's what happened.
Right. You know, Donna, right. My biggest fear about this whole thing. You can tell me how bad it was. It's just the staying awake, like the first 6 weeks where it's just
that's
never ending.
The worst. Yeah, it's everything that you hear.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
But you
more.
Like it. But, you know, you
well, it's your kid,
you
I'm
can
sure.
pass them off, you know, take turns. And...
Right, right.
And by the way, you know, that whole selling point when everyone goes, but it's your kid, that doesn't sound like it's great. It's like if you replaced a kid with meatloaf, it'd be bad. Like, geez, I don't know, it's sticky, it doesn't look very good. It's kind of, but it's yours. It's your meatloaf. You're going to love it. It seems like, I don't know, it's like, it's... You know, they do that. They go, you're going to be up all night.
Right,
the kid's
going
to be vomiting on you.
Right.
He's going to need braces.
Yeah.
He's going to turn gay in a few years. He might try to stab you or the crochet meal.
Yeah.
But it's your kid. It's your kid.
Yeah.
You're going to love that kid.
It's yours.
That'll be your kid trying to stab you and yelling, I hate you. I hate you.
Oh,
you should die.
Well, very apropos to this, I just, you know, I get very quick kind of stories from my patients because I deliver babies. And so they come in at their 2 week and their 6 week visit. And I hear all kinds of stories. And the ones that, you know, patients think that I'm really into, I mean, I'm not, but it's just kind of an interesting thing they love to tell you.
The gory stuff?
All the gory stuff.
Oh,
you hear
yeah.
about all the gory stuff. You hear, you know, you're in the supermarket and the kid poops and you just put him down on the first aisle on top of all the soups and you've got crap all over your. I mean, you know, you hear all kinds of stuff like that and you're going, great, this is what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing I always have wondered about is what possesses somebody to go into that field.
It's incredible.
Perv.
It's incredible.
Bizarre sexuality.
Oh my God.
A strange and bizarre sexuality.
I'll tell you when I was hooked. I was hooked in medical school because I wanted to be a pediatrician. I was hooked in medical school when I saw my first baby being born.
Really?
That experience is one of those, you know.
You like playing God, don't you?
No.
You're playing God.
Just
you look
being
at you
part
playing
of that
God.
Amazing process is incredible.
I guess it I mean, talk about, you know, an emotional. I mean, I don't know how often. I mean, if you work at a big hospital, you're delivering a kid every day.
You know, it all day. You have your busy days, you have your slow days, but you know, sometimes you deliver 3 kids a day.
How many are you doing a year on average, would you say?
It ends up being about 10 a month, sometimes
really?
More, sometimes less, but
so,
about 10
so,
a
I
month.
Mean, the idea that you get to be there and experience this sort of miracle, you know, firsthand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like be working at the Pirates of the Caribbean or something at Disneyland. I mean, you get to be right in the middle of where, you know, people wait for 5 years. They fly in from Utah. They spend all their money. You're there every day. You know what I mean? This is the biggest thing that
sure,
ever
yeah,
happened.
Sure, I see what you're saying.
That's not Pirates of the Caribbean. But what I'm saying is...
I missed the analogy on the
no,
Pirates
but,
of the Caribbean. You lost me at the Pirates
of the
Caribbean.
I have to explain it. Here, what I'm saying is the biggest moment of anybody's happens to you 10 times a month. I mean, you're there. The Pirates of the Caribbean would be the poor family from Kentucky that saves all their money to go to Disneyland.
Right.
They did that one
and
time.
And you can't understand why I do this. I mean, you know.
I know, but
you get
but
to experience that several times a month, and you're saying, okay.
All right,
you know,
well,
this is amazing.
You got that.
Sort of, but there's all that gross stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like the C-section.
You get over the gross. You know what's gross to me is orthopedics. Like to watch somebody walk around with a broken leg, that's to me, that's like sends chills up my spine.
Listen, man.
So everybody's got their own thing.
When they take that chisel out for the knee replacement, that's I start biting on my teeth. All right.
There you go.
Let's give a quick plug to Donna's project. I'm guessing Liberty Lass is what we're here to plug?
Yeah, it's Comic Book the Movie is the picture.
And it's got, who's in this?
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, Hugh Hefner's in it also.
Kevin Smith, Stan Lee, who's, of course, a legend, and Bruce Campbell, a legend as well, if you're into all that Day of the Dawn of the Dead. What's all his movies? Oh, Evil, Army of Darkness and Evil Dead, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Really?
Cult legend. You know the guy?
No, but I saw a preview for Dawn of the Dead. I think they're making a remake.
Oh, they're doing another one?
Uh-huh, like a modern Dawn of the Dead.
He's hilarious.
He's Evil Dead and Army of Darkness, Sam Raimi stuff. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, you were in medical school.
Yeah, I guess I missed
what
it.
Do you know? You and Drew.
Really? Does Drew know more movies? I mean, what
does Drew know
what he's talking about when he talks about movies?
Listen, I got it. That a-hole, I got to tell, you know, I start talking, I'm like, boy, I feel like Scatman Crothers from The Shining, huh?
Okay, I would have gotten that one.
Nothing. He's never seen The Shining, never heard anything.
Yeah, that's
wow.
That I would have gotten.
Doesn't know any music.
Yeah.
It's zero. Here's his two. He knows opera.
No.
And he knows organs. Those are his two things.
Like body organs.
No, Hammond. Body, idiot. That's all he knows. Opera and internal organs. Wow. That's the only thing he knows.
Okay.
So you don't realize, like, you think it sucks driving cross country with someone who doesn't know anything? Like,
that's true in New York.
He's singing opera. No, I mean, like, you know, there's nothing worse than when you're hanging out with someone and you go, that dude looks like the neighbor dude from Three's Company. And the guy's like, huh?
Who?
You know, remember Larry, swinging guy? I didn't.
Oh, boy.
And then you start digging. It's like, it starts getting you never saw Three's Company? What's Three's Company? It's like, holy.
No way.
As an example, I just mean,
company,
here's my point. My point is
that's hard to do.
Driving cross country with
you
a guy.
You guys drive cross country?
No, we don't.
You fly. So
no, it's more analogy.
You put your headphones
stuff.
On.
This is analogy.
Okay.
Think Pirates of the Caribbean.
Stuff,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Pirates.
Here's what I'm saying.
Thanks.
Your worst nightmare is to have to drive across country with some guy who's never heard of anything, doesn't know what you're talking about at all.
Yeah.
Imagine doing a nightly radio show with this guy.
Oh, I see that analogy.
Where all you're doing is you're making references, you're making analogies,
sure.
You're saying, this guy reminds me of this, remember in that movie?
Yeah.
He's looking at you just eyes rolling like pinwheels.
Right.
Has no idea what you're talking about. I mean,
it's
the
tough,
idea that you can't make Shining, here's Johnny,
reference.
Like a
right.
Jack Nicholson. No, doesn't know what you're talking
right.
about.
Yeah.
Not going to see it.
Right.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Beautiful. Yeah, so that's what I have to do every night. I have to sit next to a newborn.
Your job is a lot tougher.
Yeah, I got like...
I've been delivering babies.
Idiot savant alien is what he is. And I have to sit here and explain society and the world to him.
All right. What do you think?
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Lupita?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. Okay, this is the thing. About a year ago, I was 6 months pregnant, and me and my boyfriend, we were like on and off at that time, and I guess he had like, he didn't have sex with another girl, but he spent like a lot of time with her, and like, I don't know, I guess like he did a lot of emotional things that I was lacking and needing at that time, you know?
Hold on, quiet. You say didn't have sex, but did he have contact with her physically?
Like, I think kissing, hand-holding, stuff like that.
Why?
That's all I was told, you know, like.
Yeah.
By him?
Yeah. Let me tell you.
Well, she's younger. I, like, scared the...
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let me explain the told part. It's like when a cop pulls you over and says, have you been drinking tonight? And you go, well, two beers. Go ahead and put a zero behind that two beers. If you drank two beers, you say none. If you drank a 12-pack, you say two beers.
Right.
If you got busted, you say kissing and hand-holding. You got to go ahead and at least give
I can say they're always around other people, you know, so.
Okay. Well, who is this mystery woman?
This girl that I used to be like, I'll say like acquaintance or whatever. She's 2 years younger, gone out with a couple of our mutual guy friends or whatever, and she's just like one of those like tag-alongs, you know?
And how do you know they're always around other people?
Well, because he didn't have a car, so he always got around through this other couple who drove him around.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sounds like she's going to make a great
dad, by the way. Right.
Mazel tov.
You said 6 months ago this whole thing started? Or you were pregnant?
She was six months pregnant.
No, it was a year ago I was 6 months pregnant.
So did you have the baby by now?
Yes.
And where is he now?
Hopefully adoption.
He's in his crib.
No.
We're talking about the guy.
Oh, the guy. He's in the next room.
And so how old is he, and does he have a car yet?
Well, right now his license is suspended.
Hold on a second.
His license is suspended.
Let me tell you what the kiss of death is right now. Right now.
Other than a 19-year-old with a non-supporting husband whose license
saying,
has been suspended, what else could be going
on here? If you ask somebody, where are you going to college? And they go, right now. Okay, that's not Harvard. Okay.
Right now.
And if you go, you working? Yeah. Where are you working? Right now. You hear right now. That ain't.
The red flag.
And CEO of Fortune 500. No one ever says, right now I'm going to MIT and I'm an attorney.
Mm.
Right now means license suspended.
So what is the question?
Yeah, how can we possibly help you, Lupita? What can we tell you?
It's been about a year now, right? And like around the same time, because it was right around New Year's, I started like freaking out, like having like I felt like panic attacks, you know, like having nightmares and like questioning him where he was going and like
mm-hmm.
I can't let it go, you know?
Yeah.
I think about it every day, and I don't know if it's something with me because every time I think about the baby, I think about being pregnant, I think about that incident, and it never leaves me, you know?
All right, listen to me. All right, got some quick advice. First off, no more goddamn kids, you idiots.
No,
what are you doing? Okay, you're using birth control?
I'm on the patch now, so.
Okay, good. Put it over your mouth. Donna slipped me a little note and told me to say that.
No,
she
I didn't. No,
look, here's the deal. This is why you can't crank out kids at 18, because you're still a mess and you're still a kid and you let all this stuff affect you and you do this BS where you go, oh, we never argue in front of the kids. The kid's a big sponge. And by the way, I'm guessing you're not living in a 7,500 square foot manor. I'm guessing it's more like 800 square feet and the kid hears and absorbs everything. You are a mother now. You have to put this aside. You have to focus on your relationship. Stop pointing your finger and accusing. Stop obsessing. Start obsessing on being a mom. All right?
I take care of my son.
Yeah. I wish I had a... goddamn nickel for every idiot who called this show and did that. Oh no, they know the yeah. You're slamming heroin. You're having fist fights with your husband, but don't worry, your kid. Oh, that's little Lord Fauntleroy's. No BS. Believe me, you'll screw your kid up when you're having these thoughts and having this friction with your husband or God knows whatever he is. And I know it's the rallying call of every bad mom where they go, no, I take care of my that means you're compensating for whatever life you're having. All right. Sorry for being an a-hole, but look, this is it. You have a kid at 19. Now you're a parent. Now you're going to screw the kid up. Stop it. All right? You got to get some counseling, perhaps. Whatever it is, you sitting around obsessing about this guy holding hands or kissing on somebody a year ago is going to destroy your kid. All right. I see 36C up here.
Right. Your eyes went straight for that.
That's right.
Okay.
Ben, you got to move that. This thing around. Remember that?
I'll keep up with you. Go ahead.
Here.
I'll stay with you ahead of time.
Angel?
Yes.
What's happening?
I just was wondering if it was a good idea for me to get in breast enlargement.
Yes. Now, we got to move on. Some people we spend more time with than others. All right, Angel?
Yes.
Yes. Why? You're calling from Wisconsin?
Yes.
You've got to be the only Angel in Wisconsin.
No, there's actually one other one.
Really?
That I know of.
Wow. That didn't seem like a Wisconsin name. Connie seems like a Wisconsin name. All right, so you want to have a boob job and do what?
I don't know. I just want a boob job, really.
All right.
And you're what? You're a 36C?
Yes.
She's already... okay. I thought you wanted to get to a 36C. Okay.
No, I want to get to a 40D.
Holy cow.
40D. Why do you want to go 40D?
I just think it would look better.
All right. Here's another thing, though, by the way. I do study these things a little bit.
Okay.
40D, I mean, shouldn't you just want to keep your 36 and go to D? Why do you want to go to 40? You know what I mean? That's all back stuff.
I don't know, because I think it would make it look more proportionate.
Are you a big gal?
No.
How tall are you?
5'8".
How much do you weigh?
135.
All right. And what do you want to do? You want to be a stripper or something?
I plan on stripping in the future, but
sure,
not right now.
Let me tell you about stripping. I planned on stripping, too, but I kept putting it off. And then one day, one of my nuts hung lower than the other, and I knew my career was over. Okay. So I'm saying, if you're going to, don't let what happened to you happen to me.
Right.
You got to go after that dream of stripping. You can't just keep putting it off and off. You understand?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. What, doesn't sound like,
You don't sound like you're small chested. To me.
Yeah, you got a nice C cup going for you.
Well, when I look in the mirror, it looks small to me.
Yeah. Are you going to junior college?
No, I'm not going to college probably right now.
But you're planning on junior college?
Yes.
Okay. That's the only thing worse than junior college, or people are planning on going to junior college.
That almost, by the way, that almost was a well right now. That was almost a well right now.
If it'd make you feel better about yourself, I'd say go.
Donna says go. But what about being a stripper?
What about it?
Yeah, well, you're 18. Can't you work as a stripper now if you want?
Yes, I can. I'm just in the middle of trying to figure out where I should go instead of going someplace where there's a lot of sleazy people.
Mm-hmm. All right. And where are you working now? Are you working?
Yeah, I'm a waitress right now.
Waitress. Is that a decent job?
Yeah.
Are you moved out of your house?
Yep.
And what are you going to study at junior college?
I'm actually going to go to college for cosmetology and child care.
Child care. All right. Here's what you need to do. Let me map out your life here, Angel.
Okay.
You don't worry about the boob job.
Yeah.
You got some time for that.
It says your 26-year-old boyfriend thinks they're fine.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
really?
So where is this, it's all coming from you.
Yeah.
Do you have any other body image issue? I mean, has this ever been an issue for you before? Yes. Losing weight, obsessed with is there any other issues like this that you've ever encountered when other people say you're fine and you're insisting that, you know, you don't like something about the way you look?
Well, I compulsively exercise because mm-hmm. of the fact I think I'm overweight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And 5'8 and 135, you realize that if you just look at those numbers, you're absolutely fine.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, I got an idea. So, how about some of that
body image issues here?
Some of that boob job money goes into a little therapy money. Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to work out some
of
these
things for yourself,
Angel.
Yeah, why don't you work on that?
Okay.
All right, but listen, let me tell you about junior college.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just go to, go to beauty school or something. You graduate in like 8 months, you get a job at a salon.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, all right. She's with it, Adam.
Yeah.
You saved one of the callers today, Adam. You're working it today.
No, it's like, what that's like, it's like when someone is giving you directions to a party you're not going to go to, and you're on the phone with them, and they're like, so can you make it out Sunday? And you're like, I might be able to get out that way. And they go, well, do you know where Stu lives? And you're like, oh, no, I know. Well, and it's always, I like this one, too. It's like, do you have a pen? Uh-huh. And you're just holding the remote. You know, you're sitting on the sofa. They're like, okay, got something to write with? Yeah. And then they go like, okay, so you got to take the 405. You take 405 southbound. Now go past.
Got it.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah. That's what that was. That's a party she's never going to go to.
Mm.
Meanwhile, I feel better about myself because I gave her directions to Stu's play. See what I'm saying? All right. Quick call, then we go to break. What do you say? Huh?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Dr. Ben is here tonight, by the way, filling in for Dr. Drew, and Donna DiArico is here tonight, filling in for whatever guest might be here if Donna DiArico wasn't here. Nate?
Yeah. Hi, Adam.
Yeah, you're 14. What's up, buddy?
All right. I'm a triathlete, and there's kind of a rumor going around kind of softly that if you jerk off before an event, it leaves room for other fluids to expand inside your body.
Yeah. If you hawk a loogie, you get just as much room.
Exactly.
You blow a snot rocket, you got even extra room. That's so much room.
Yeah, where do all those stories come from like that?
Like the alligator in the toilet. Like where do people get this stuff?
Athletes are
like that Rocky thing, women weaken legs.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's been around for a long time.
So if you're a triathlete and the whole the women weaken legs thing, isn't it better, you know, maybe not to jerk off?
Yeah, that's
right?
Good.
Like why are you going the other way with that?
Well, I haven't done it yet.
Doesn't care.
Something about replacing fluids or something.
Hey, but listen, Nate, first off, what kind of 14-year-old is into triathlons?
Me.
That's for old guys. You should be playing hockey or football or something.
No, I love it. It's a great sport. It's hard. It's long. It's like the ultimate endurance, you know?
Yeah, I know. Why don't you just run around the block until you fall over, though?
Challenge yourself. There's no rush in it anymore.
Okay, well, let me say this, Nate.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. When you get out of the ocean or the lake, could you take just a couple of seconds and put some shorts on? Do I got to see you ride the whole 400 miles in your Speedos? You know what I'm saying? Oh, good.
Yeah,
put the shorts on. Because I see the guys that come flying right out of the water.
Yeah.
They're still sporting the Speedo, and they hop right on that bike. Then they get in that crouch position where the elbows go on to that sort of cup holders on the bars. They get in that tuck, and it's all triathlete ass from that point on. And they're naked. They're not wearing any shit.
Right.
They're wearing underpants.
Right.
They're doing like 100. Here's the real challenge. You covered 500 miles in your underpants. That's really what the Iron Man is. The guys are sporting the Speedos. They're jogging in the Speedos now. There just should be a rule where you got to put some crap on. You get out of the water. Time out. Everyone's got 10 minutes to pull some trunks up, to stuff their junk down, put some sweatpants on, and get on the bike. Yes?
With you. You got my vote.
Okay. Thank you. Donna,
I don't know. I'm thinking the other way. Maybe they should have like an all-nude.
They should get down.
Yeah.
Okay. Then go that way.
Yeah.
The Speedo's distracting. Another one thing I don't like.
The Speedos
like
are a little creepy. Yeah.
I don't like the weird. They're wearing so much of nothing that they have to take a marker and write their number on their forehead or their arm and stuff. Like, just put a goddamn shirt on, you idiot. Did you put a shirt on? It's a weird thing if you think about
it. It's less fluids also that would
make it go
faster.
Listen, here's the deal. No beating off. Put a shirt on.
Some shorts.
Yeah, this guy's underpants for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Donna D'Errico's in studio tonight. Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew, who's in New York chasing a dropped nickel. Donna D'Errico is in here tonight. You know her from Baywatch and many other endeavors. Also, I think it was you. It was about a couple of weeks ago, and one of the computer nerds over at the Jimmy Kimmel Show in the writer's room said, Donna D'Errico's got some Paris Hilton-type sex video that's on the internet. And I knocked, you know, I was like, get out of the way! They're pushing people aside. I even ran out of my way to push somebody. And just I'd knock. I was like running. It was like I was in slow motion. I was running through the office, people holding papers, flying, over fruit carts being overturned, diving in slow motion, sliding over the hood of a car, landing there. And so he punched it up, and he was like, it was shot like it was like the Paris Hilton one. It was like this sort of night vision thing. Nice. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? Oh, yes, indeed. Then I realized it was like a farce.
Yeah.
A
parody.
Parody.
Yeah.
Parody.
It was a good one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell that to my groin is still in therapy. Post-traumatic shock disorder. It can't get it. It'll never trust again. It says it'll never trust again. You realize you don't do that to people. It's not your fault. It's the a-hole who made the announcement.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
So the parody was that it's you got nothing obviously to do with it, and then it's somebody else. Or you,
no, it was me, but it was done
the whole thing.
What was it? What was it advertising? By the way,
it was tied into to comic book the movie.
Oh, okay.
Promotion because it was released onto DVD right around the same time, and Jess Harnell, who plays Ricky the cameraman, he was the guy in the video.
It was fun. There were a lot of comic book references. It made me angry. Made me angry. I swore to crush whoever was behind this.
Okay.
Because you don't mess around with a man that way. It was very
I apologize. Sad.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the other one is Gina Lee Nolan or something. Here's the other thing.
That was a long time ago.
It's been about 3 months.
Oh.
Not that long. Ooh, maybe you know something.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Huh?
Mm-mm. Mm? No, I remember the old, like, years ago one about her ex-husband
something. Well, this resurfaced then about 3 months ago that some other a-hole at the office, probably the same guy, made the announcement. There's a Gina Lee Nolan, you know, bootleg porno tape that's coming out in just a few weeks. I was I was staring at the calendar like a prisoner. You know, making an X each day and stuff like that. And then I start checking in every couple of weeks. What's going on? I don't know. Maybe it's coming. Nah, never showed up. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, somebody needs to pay. You know what I mean? You don't shout a fire in a crowded movie house. Someone needs to be punished for this because this is going to keep happening. I know yours was a publicity stunt. It was a mockumentary. It was all done with your tongue firmly planted in your cheek. But the Gina Lee Nolan thing wasn't. That's out there somewhere.
I haven't even heard about that one.
No.
Hmm.
All right. Interesting. Let's just move forward.
Yeah.
Let's just end the show. I'm not feeling up to it.
I dug a ditch for 8 hours today.
You
Adam,
did?
So,
dunk, what, where?
If
what
anybody
were you
needs
doing?
To go to bed, it's me.
What? Why? Septic tank?
Well, what happened is that the pool lights aren't working. So the electrician says, you know what, the line is totally corroded from the main box to the pool. You gotta put in a new line.
Yeah.
So I'm going, okay, let's put in a new line. He goes, well, it's going to cost you $1,000 just for me to dig up the dirt to get, you know, the 100 feet or so from the main. And I'm like, I am paying you $1,000. I can do that.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't realize what you're talking about because there are all these roots in your backyard. You got to dig a foot down. So I'm like, you know, I can handle it.
Don't. You never heard of this invention called a Mexican? I mean a shovel? I mean a backhoe? I mean, you gotta... There are people who do this for a living. You're a rich man. You should be doctoring.
You know, here's what I was thinking.
Yeah, your hands are your living.
Those are tools.
Yeah, it took me an hour to get the dirt from under my fingernails before coming in today.
Really?
Yeah.
And how long a trench did you end up digging?
It's a good 100 feet. But you know what? 100 feet at, you know, when you have...
Is it 100 feet?
It was a pretty long trench.
No, I go out there and pace it off, be about 28, 30
no,
feet, right?
No. 100
feet.
I'm serious. 100 feet. It took me from 8:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night.
And not just soft dirt either, Adam. It was like roots and trees.
Roots the size of your arm, Adam, that I had to go through with a pickaxe.
And wait a second.
I'm serious.
You're digging up the conduit. Is it rigid conduit?
Yeah, I mean, he needs to put PVC piping in.
Yeah, but did you need to go along the old stuff?
I went basically a lot. I've dug down, you know, to the old stuff, mm-hmm. found it, mm-hmm. and then dug it all up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go right over the old stuff.
And how deep?
A good foot.
And then what happened when you got next to the pool? Because when you got near the pool, you should have hit some slab or some stone or something, right?
No, because the GFI outlet and the old, wherever he has to go to, is mm-hmm. actually on the side right next to the concrete. So I was able to pull. It's all dirt. Where I went was all dirt.
All right. Hey.
So you called him and told him you did it, and now what's he going to charge
you? Yeah, so tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, he's out there just to put in the line. He's going to charge me a couple of $100.
Really?
Yeah, see? All right. It was worth it. And I got some good exercise, and I got to be outside. How often can, you know, you say that?
You got to. I like that, you know, big selling point for a lot of people. So, it's good. You get to be outside. Being outside is no big deal. Go to the car. I'll be outside for 10 seconds until I get in the car. Then you close the door, you roll
up
the window.
It was a beautiful day. I couldn't have enjoyed it more. My right. back hurts, but all that's right. about it.
Did you pull a permit for that work?
Hey.
I'm telling you, I had a surreal experience happened to me today. Speaking of building, I was at the Home Depot in Hollywood, which, by the way, is just some kind of Calcutta bazaar now. You can't go in there anymore.
Really?
It's insane. It's just a bunch of crazy people. You don't know what you don't. You could be in any country, in any city, in any place on the planet. It's just total chaos. You can barely get through there anymore. And I bought a router, and I was leaving, and guy stopped me like, see, here's my problem. From doing the man show, people F around with me. Like, people come up to me and go, like, hey, I'm going to need you a permit for the, you know, and I'm always like, hey, Jagoff, get out of here. And sometimes it's really a guy who does need to see something or does. I never know if the guy's screwing around or not.
Okay.
And this guy, okay, I've been doing building for 20 years. I've never seen this. Guy's dressed in all in black. He's got his hair slicked back. He's wearing black boots, and he flashes his tin to me. City inspector. It's in a badge, and it's in one of those wallets that's cut out where the leather's cut out, where the shield is inside. You know, just like a detective. You know, and he flashes his tin, and he's like, "Yeah, city inspector, where are you going with those tools? You got a permit?"
I was
like,
"Yeah,
what?
Get out of here, buddy. I'll say, what do you want? You want to sign an autograph? I'll send a juggie over to the house."
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, "Seriously, where are you going?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? What are you doing?"
That doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't.
That's what I said. I said, "Well, what are you doing?" He shows me his badge, like city permit, whatever. I'm like, "I got that out of a comic book." I'm dead serious. I said, "What do you want? I don't understand it. Where are you going with those tools? You must have a decent sized project going. You got a permit?" I said,
"What?"
What I said. I kept saying, no, but then I realized. He's just standing there.
He's a crazy guy.
He's a crazy guy with an official inspector. No, but he's dressed like a senior inspector. He's like suave, you know. He's with hair slicked back. He's all in black, and he's showing me his shield. And he goes, "No, do you have a permit?" Okay. And I said, "Well, yeah, I do have a permit." He goes, "What's the permit number?" And I started laughing at him because I know it's about 15 digits. And I said, "Get out of here. I don't know what the permit number." And he goes, "How many digits in it?" I said, I don't know how many. And he goes, "Where'd you get it?" And I said, "Van Nuys office." And he goes, "Where's the Van Nuys office?"
You got to be kidding me.
I swear to God. But, okay, but think about it. And I was talking to my friends about it, and they're saying the same thing, which is, get out of here. But think about this. Inspectors drive around and bust people. I mean, their job, and the people who aren't in the business or haven't done a lot of these projects don't think much about it, but I've done 100 of them, and I've dealt with these a-holes in the city and everything like this. Their livelihood is they realize that there's tons of building going on each year that they don't get a the city doesn't get their stinky hand in. Right. They don't get any money for. It's possibly dangerous. Whatever. Their job is that they're like border patrol guys. They can't stop everything, but they're on patrol.
I heard they cruise around looking for dumpsters, and that's how they know they've got major stuff going on.
If there's a cement truck going up the hill, they'll follow the cement truck. And when they get to the top of the hill, they'll walk up and go, "Where's this going? Okay. And what are you doing with it?" And I got to listen. I've had inspectors walk on to every job I never pulled a permit for. They walk on at some point in the job, want to know what's going on.
Whoa.
That's how it works. Oh, absolutely.
So how did it end?
Knife fight.
Yeah.
Pull the knife.
He was not legit, though. I have a hard time with this.
But think of it this way. Look at it this way. You are city inspector. You want to know what's going on. Instead of driving in circles, following around trucks or dumpsters, you go to the Home Depot in Hollywood. You go there 2 in the afternoon on a Thursday. Every time you see some guy pushing a big cart full of stucco, K-lath, and 2x4s, it's the middle of the day. It ain't the weekend. Mm-hmm. He's not some weekend warrior. This ain't Dr. Baby over here digging his own ditch trying to save a nickel. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who's doing it for a living, and you know the guy doesn't have a permit, so you stop him right there. Mm-hmm. You get it.
But even if you have a permit, you don't have it on your person while you're in Home Depot.
No, but
what's he going to do, follow you home?
He does what any good cop does. What a guy tried to do to me, bust you down a little bit. You got the permit. What's the permit number? He tries to get you on the ropes. Where'd you go to get the permit? If you don't go anywhere to get the permit, you're not going to say Van Nuys. You're going to go like, oh, I can't remember. And now you're busted. You see what I'm saying?
So you played along with him a little bit, and then he let you off?
Well, he didn't know he was dealing with. I pulled 1,000 permits.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, the funnest part of the...
I say touche to a senior inspector.
Good. Okay, you got rid of him. The best part of the Home Depots now, because I've been going to Home Depots too now, is when you get to automatically check out your own stuff. That's where you see the funniest things going on. Like, people, like, not knowing, can't follow the direction. It ends up being the whole process.
Were you watching me today?
What happened?
Here's me. Push the cart up to the thing. Big cart full of tools.
Yeah.
Lumber, building materials, or paint. Or none of the above. Hit the none of the above and then said, punch in first three letters of, and I just stared at it for like a retard. I pulled my cart. I backed out. Did the walk of shame. Yeah. I went right and got in line.
I've seen that walk of shame 100 times.
That's right. This is, look, if the people who shop at the Home Depot in Hollywood, if it said, punch in your two initials, their head would explode like scanners. Those idiots can't do anything over there. It's like, it's retard meets don't speak the language. Are you kidding? They just stare at the thing. The guy was ordering a Big Mac in front of me. It's like they're trying to talk into the thing. I couldn't figure the thing out. I got right out of there. Yeah. It was humiliating. All right, we took no calls. We talked about Home Depot.
Right. Is it break time?
It's break time.
I can't believe we can't talk to Elizabeth.
No.
Okay, we'll talk to her maybe later.
No. Yeah, we got to take a break. I got more to talk about. Okay, we got to take a break. Donna D'Errico is here. Dr. Ben is here. He started off by talking about his stupid pickaxe experience. He got me going. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. I think I've taken like 3.5 calls since Drew went to New York. No, not tonight. I didn't take any last night or before either.
Really? Yikes.
Yeah. And you know, all the program director ever tells me is take more calls.
Oh, my God.
It's been 9 years of him telling me take calls and me not taking any calls. Okay.
That's why he gets the big bucks?
Yeah.
To tell you that?
Okay. Yeah. I'm always mildly insulted, too. The only guy in America who has a syndicated talk show where the number one complaint from the program director is always, stop talking. Stop talking.
There's something weird about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not right. Like I said, not flatter. Donna's here plugging a little project called Comic Book The Movie, which is out on DVD.
Yes, it's out.
It's got Kevin Smith in it and Hugh Hefner. Stan Lee, of course, the godfather of all the comics, and Matt Groening from Simpsons fame, by the way, and Bruce Campbell, who's
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, some names in there. All right, let's take some calls. What about that, Elizabeth? Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew, and you're 19, Elizabeth.
Hi.
What's up?
I just got out of a relationship with this guy, and the main reason that we broke up was because I found out I had herpes.
Mm-hmm. Did he break up with you? Did he break up with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he said I should have told him, and I was like, I didn't know. Because it like showed up like 2 days after New Year's. And him and I had been sexually active for about a month. Yeah. And the last person I've been with was Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
and
this
I
was
him. Oh. Huh? Yeah.
Elizabeth, just a quick question. I just wondered, this was your very first outbreak, right? You've never had anything like that before.
Yeah, it was my first outbreak.
How sick were you? Just give me a little, just tell us what you were going through right after New Year's. What did it feel like?
I remember I cried so much.
Because
I couldn't walk. I couldn't stand. I couldn't sit. It was the most painful feeling I've had. I couldn't sleep.
Okay.
And I just remember crying so much. It hurt horribly.
Hold on. What's this have to do with Home Depot?
Nothing.
Seriously.
Absolutely
Home
nothing.
Depot, herpes, they both start with the letter H.
Very
there
good.
Go. Wow. There you go.
Elizabeth,
the connection.
You're officially the smartest caller we've had in 6 months, Elizabeth. Just a little piece of alliteration there. Okay.
But just so you know, Adam, that what she's describing, that's a primary outbreak. I mean, people who have herpes like all their lives, when they get an outbreak after that first you know, episode that they'll never forget, it's just like, you know, whatever. For some patients, it's like a couple of days and then they
Or how long is the incubation period?
It varies, right?
Right. But I can tell you that for most people, it's 10 to 14 days. Now, there is just for
so
Elizabeth.
He gave it to her.
Overwhelmingly. So.
Well, so it's an interesting. Okay, so let's talk about a few things. One is, you know, somebody wasn't living with herpes and not saying anything if they had a primary outbreak at that point. You know what I mean? I mean, if they had the fever and the pain and the aches and the whole thing that goes along with the primary outbreak, right. You can't make the argument that, oh, you had this for 2 years, you didn't say anything.
That's a very difficult argument to make, although the more we know about herpes, the more we know that that's at least for some people a very rare possibility. But overwhelmingly, what you just said is right. When somebody gets their primary outbreak, they got it, they kind of just freshly picked it up from somebody within 2 weeks.
Right. And then subsequent outbreaks are just
usually much
blisters
milder.
And that kind
That's
of
right.
stuff. But it's not all the fever and
That's
everything.
That's right.
And so the fact, and then what percentage of people, if you know, get it between 10 and 14 days?
I would say overwhelming, the vast majority, if they're going to come down with symptoms, get it within the first 10 to 14 days.
So, I mean, you can be relatively certain that if your partner breaks out with a primary herpes, that something happened a couple weeks ago or sooner.
That's correct.
Could he have had it and not know?
Now, that, interestingly enough, can happen again, but we're talking about the vast majority of patients. So, Elizabeth, if you talk to your boyfriend, if you talk to him, you know, I don't know how far this went, but there's, first of all, unless you were with somebody else 10 to 14 days before you came down with symptoms, you overwhelmingly did get it from him. And that means that he overwhelmingly also had a primary outbreak at some point, which he may not have told you about. Although,
how would you avoid it if you saw him?
Right, because he can, you know, people have what's called asymptomatic shedding. You could have been with him, didn't see any lesions, he didn't have any pain, and he could still, we think at least 1 to 2% of patients who have had herpes at any point in their lives could shed at any time.
All right.
So he could have potentially given it to you, even though he was, you know, obviously not symptomatic at the time that you guys were together.
But anyway, Elizabeth.
Yes.
You guys are broken up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know
It's not about getting back with him, because for somebody to break up with me.
Oh. All right, good. I don't want to go through that whole thing. It's got nothing to do with building. Look.
But it does start with an H.
Yeah, just fine. You're broken up. Good. He did you a favor. He showed his true colors. It's not about getting back together with him.
Okay.
Fine. You're hurt. You're angry. You should be. Move on.
Okay, I'll just mention two things medically. One, we now have great medications to decrease recurrences.
Right. Women kickboxing,
exactly.
Beating the crap out of people.
Exactly.
All women kickboxing. And, that's liberating.
And
man.
Two, once you get one sexually transmitted disease, you should probably be screened for others. So I don't know where Elizabeth went with all this, but she should probably be screened for chlamydia, and she should possibly consider HIV screening and hepatitis screening.
How about
as well?
Folks who take medication who just like to sit home and watch a little TiVo? Does everyone got to be windsurfing, kickboxing? Really?
No.
All these sick people out?
How about riding motorcycles? I've seen that one.
Yeah, just relax, everybody. Take your goddamn medication. You sit home. I don't want you out getting all juiced up on your medication, beating the crap out of someone, or getting on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Doing a triathlon.
Drew, that's right. If you're going to do the triathlon, put some sweatpants on, right?
Thank you, yeah.
Drew? Caller Drew?
Caller Drew.
Oh, yeah, I have a question because I built a pneumatic spud gun.
Yeah.
Pneumatic is. I built it with a.
You want to shoot Walmart. You want to shoot potatoes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I used an electronic solenoid valve.
So
like a sprinkler system.
Yeah.
And it's. I don't think it's working right. And
no.
I don't know if you could help me.
Well, here's the thing. We gotta take a break.
Anything
already?
So you just gotta relax.
All right. Pneumatic is air-powered, by the way.
Thank you.
I just want to tell our listeners that. I know you're Donna, you're a model, so you know. But a lot of people don't know what pneumatic. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Donna DiErico's here. We'll get back to the spud guns, potato launcher.
Okay.
After this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben is filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Ben is OGBYN?
Something like that.
Gynecologist?
OBGYN, yeah. Gynecologist.
Yeah? Both the same. Delivers a lot of babies.
Deliver a lot of babies.
Where's Dr. Drew?
Yeah, where is Dr. Drew?
Help me.
Donna DiErico is our guest tonight. Beautiful former star of Baywatch. Now got a little project out on a DVD called Comic Book the Movie. Got her and Mark Hamill and Stan Lee, Hugh Hefner, Kevin Smith, amongst others. What are most people who give birth these days? A C-section, natural, whatever, vaginal?
National statistics are that a little more than 25% of deliveries in this country are now by C-section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did that come back? Right. Did that come back around?
Yes.
So. For a while, I mean, obviously, start off vaginal, then start getting a C-section.
Yeah.
Then they really start getting a C-section just because of insurance purposes, right?
There were probably lots of reasons, but, you know.
And then a little backlash, and now they're coming back the other way.
Big time. Big time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do any episiotomies?
I don't, but
you
that
don't?
Is a procedure. You know, everybody's got their own philosophy on episiotomies.
You don't like that one?
Mm-mm.
Not your, huh?
No.
What do you got to do? What do you do?
Back in the day, that was the standard.
Yeah.
You're usually,
back in the day, Donna, like if you talk to your mom or stuff, I mean,
Don't talk to your mom about that crap.
But basically about 40 years ago, there was a time where everybody got an episiotomy and at least 50% of babies were delivered by forceps because moms were getting that twilight sleep. They couldn't push. They couldn't do it. I mean, that was just standard.
Yeah, that was my mom. Yeah.
So the episiotomies where they make the little cut down there and they open things up. They give you a little more room.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then they would go in with forceps? Like tongs?
Back
in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. And it wasn't that...
It may happen
around
to
the time that might... Yeah.
I think you might
have been born that way. Maybe a little before your time, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure... And I think my dad is what they call an ether baby. You know, I think he fed his mom too much ether because he's kind of slow, you know. He's a little dim-witted.
Huh.
He's not a real sharp guy, you know.
Okay.
I think he got some, you know, I think mama too much ether and it kind of slowed him down.
Mm.
He didn't test real well in high school and stuff. You know what I mean?
Now he's like pulling out badges at Home Depots. Is that what's his gig
hair
now?
Slick
back.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he's cut out of the right cloth to work at Home Depot. They're looking for a special breed of retard. And my dad's a little different breed of tard. I don't think he cut the mustard over there. Yeah, they're looking for a few good tards over there. All right.
Now, wait a minute. The spud gun. We just want to get to the bottom of that.
Drew. Caller Drew, who's 15.
Yeah.
You're building a spud gun. This is one of those things that uses compressed air to launch potatoes. Hundreds of feet, perhaps, yes?
Yeah, like 300 yards.
300 yards?
Yeah, my friend shot a golf ball 300 yards.
Out of the spud gun?
Yeah.
Right. So spud gun shoots more than spuds.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm already beginning to understand. I thought I was totally out of the loop.
I don't know anything about this other than you should probably be using PVC or ABS.
PVC.
PVC. What's that? Schedule 40?
Yeah.
That's the thickness of the wall of the PVC.
I could have used... Where were you today when I was digging up my ditch?
Watching Tebow like a human being, not like an animal boiling in the sun, enjoying being indoors, announcing it. It's nice to be indoors.
Yeah.
All right, so you use Schedule 40 PVC, and you're using compressed air, and now you need a solenoid. You need something that's going to let this tank of compressed air immediately fire into this chamber, not slowly trickle into it, which is what's happening with your sprinkler solenoid, right?
Yeah.
All right. I've never built one of these, but I do understand the concept behind them.
You're a genius. You're like the car guys, like
Click and Clack.
Yeah, you're like that, but in construction.
We don't talk about other radio programs on this show. Yeah, I am. But this isn't really. I do love that show, though. This isn't really construction. But hey, listen, Drew.
Yeah.
Here's what I think you need to do, because I have seen they do have these valves, and you could probably find them on the internet. And the guys who use them are guys who do special effects. Like, all that stuff, like, all those explosions, like, you know when you're doing a TV show and they walk up on a cake and it explodes and they walk, you know, whenever stuff's, like, sort of exploding, yeah. especially in a TV studio okay. or something like that, yeah. it's always compressed air.
Okay.
And so they would have a tank, because we used to do this on the mansion, mm-hmm. they would have, like, a tank, just a hopper tank, size of a, you know, 5-gallon thing, but of course it's reinforced, they fill it with a couple, 150 pounds of air pressure, mm-hmm. put a valve on it, put a hose up. Put it underneath this cake or this right. whipped cream or whatever, and when the guy hits the button, the valve goes, and poof, right. the stuff goes flying everywhere, and it seems like it exploded. And if you right. put an explosion sound effect there, it's going to look like someone put an M80 okay. inside of this cake.
It.
But obviously, it's not as dangerous. So I would get on the internet to start looking for special effect houses and places that supplied those kind of things and get that valve.
Right.
All right. That's my take.
Yeah, I would, too.
Donna, am I right?
Yeah,
at the Home Depot.
I was going to say everything you just said. Yeah,
you built 1,000 spud guns in your day, have you not?
Oh yeah, right. Close to that, sure.
All right. Who are we talking to up here, David?
Yeah, I thought that would be good.
Really?
Yeah, let's talk to
That's
David.
That's a kiss of death.
You David, you're on.
David, you're 26.
You
don't disappoint.
Doing?
Good. What's happening?
My question is, I've been taking Propecia powders for 3 years, and I had my problems.
David,
yeah.
I'm going to need you to move at least 3/16 of an inch away from the phone.
Okay.
All right.
I did it.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that better, Adam?
That's much better. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I've been taking Propecia now for about 3 years. I just recently switched to Finasteride, which is ProScar, and it's a 5-milligram tablet that I've been splitting up into 4 pieces. So now I'm getting a quarter of a milligram more per tablet. Since this change, it has totally, like, leveled my libido. I suffer from mild erectile dysfunction. And I just wanted to ask the doctor, how long, if I discontinue this medication, will it take to restore my sex drive?
Mm-hmm. Now, this is because of hair loss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of these Propecias?
Well, you know, the thinking on male pattern baldness, thank you, mm-hmm. is that there's definitely a testosterone component to it. And so a lot of people, a lot of drug manufacturers that make anti-balding medications are trying to get either the testosterone receptor blocked or for decreased. There's definitely some reasons why David can have this, you know, libido issue, because testosterone is also associated with libido. So, yeah, you get some more hair, so but your libido gets knocked off.
The friend of the boner, but the enemy of the scalp, this
testosterone. So yeah. the tablets are actually doing the exact opposite. They help the hair, but they kill the libido.
Yeah.
So you kind of pick your poison there. You want to look great for the ladies, but then, you know,
you're going to get a boner. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say I don't know that there's a good scientific answer, because this is not my specialty, and I don't prescribe Propecia or Finasteride. But
what is Finasteride? Is it a new one?
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be better.
You know what? They're all in general same class. That's all kind of what they do. And from what I know about, let's say if we can if we can make the same argument for birth control pills and what they do to inherent testicular function or to inherent ovarian function, it would be about 3 months. So I would say 3 months, and then the other thing you can
do 3 months if you got off of it?
Exactly. So once you get off of it, within 3 months. And then the other thing, David, you could consider doing if you want to just kind of get this whole process over with, think about testosterone injections.
Really?
Yeah.
Now,
you'll get it back much faster.
Okay, so you're saying if a woman is on a birth control pill and she stops taking the pill, it's about 3 months for her.
Before she returns to normal ovulatory function.
And if we were trying to do like a chemical castration to me, for instance.
Okay, it depends with what. But
well, I always thought it was with acid. I always thought they dumped your sack in acid because it sounded like chemical castration. Sounded like a James Bond type
It would probably be with
Depo-Provera. I was disappointed when I found out it was basically a birth control pill for dudes.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound nearly as exciting as chemical castration does. But
that's also that, by the way,
now, because
it's injected.
That, that's
longer.
Injected.
Yeah.
Okay, but
so it stays in the muscle longer.
Yeah, but that's injected because we don't trust the pedophile to take his goddamn pills.
Right.
So, but if I decided, because I'm thinking about voluntarily chemically castrating myself.
Okay. If you were into that sort of thing, you would start taking your wife's birth control pills.
You know what it is? As I'm walking around, I'm angry at the guy at Home Depot. I'm angry at the call. I'm angry at everybody.
Okay.
I want to start hugging and stop getting boners.
And growing breasts,
And growing breasts.
And birth control pills are exactly what you
should be doing.
I want
to get on the pill. Plus, I want those little sugar pills. I've been looking for an excuse to eat those for like 25 years. I want to know what they're like. I want a reason to eat it. So I'm thinking about getting on the birth control.
Yeah, okay.
Also, I would like a reason to be moody and an a-hole. and I think control pills would be that reason, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you women, you don't realize how good you have it with this few days out of the month where you get to be all bitchy and crabby and bloaty and just sort of announce to the world, listen, don't listen to anything I say and apologize in advance, but I'm pissed. I'm on my period, you know. I got to, you know, you start crying and stuff. Well, as a guy, it would be nice a couple days out of the month just to pitch a fit.
You do.
We do?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we do. That makes us assholes. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't have an excuse.
Like,
instead of digging a ditch, you could have ate a pint of Häagen-Dazs and cried all day, and it would have been fine. Yeah, I understand.
It would have been better on my back. I can tell you that much.
You could have
in pain right now.
You could have sat in the sofa, watched your stories,
that would have been great.
Cried, had a blanket draped around your shoulders, just ate Häagen-Dazs right out of the container, and your wife would have come in. I'm on my period. And she would have just turned around and walked
out. Right. Yeah.
Would be nice too. And you guys too. We leave you alone.
Hey,
you know, we know to leave you alone.
What would happen to you?
And by the way,
I mean, well, if you think about what's going on when we're being frank like that, you know, if that was happening to you.
I wish it was. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to induce.
I don't think you wish it would.
Okay,
you'd have to go through it once, and then you wouldn't wish it.
Well, so be it. Then give me the pills. I just want to know. Here's all I'm saying.
But with that Depo-Provera, I used to take that.
Yeah.
Have that injection. I had no period.
No period?
Right. Nothing for years.
Yeah. How about mood? I mean,
nothing.
No mood problems.
It was great. So you liked it?
I did.
So biggest knock on
Depo. Water supply.
What's that?
Put that Depo in the water supply.
In the water supply.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm not.
No period.
Hey, Adam.
No moody. Yes.
What would happen to you if you did have a period? Like what next stage would you maintain?
Well, I can tell you this. I've always had trouble.
Who's talking?
That's Engineer Anderson. I've always had trouble with personal hygiene. It's always been a fairly tall. You're looking at me now, right? I'm wearing pajamas.
Yeah.
I haven't shaved.
Yeah.
I look like a homeless person, right?
Yeah, because you were on the couch eating Häagen-Dazs earlier.
Crying.
Crying.
Watching my stories. Now, here, Anderson, that's a very valid point you brought. What would happen to me? First off, I would immediately run out of tampons and napkins and all that other kind of stuff because I'm always out of, like, toilet paper. You know, when I was a bachelor, I was always out of stuff, of deodorant, toothpaste. I would always run out of stuff. So I would be walking around with a bar rag stuffed at me. That'd be number one. Newspaper, just anything. I'd be improvising.
Nice.
It'd be a disaster. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
It would be one of these things where I'd be out on the road. It'd be like, I got a tampon in my wallet. No way.
You wouldn't be that person.
No, I'd have to shove like a cat up there or something. I'd have to do something. I would never have stuff.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
It would get bad. It would be a mess, and I wouldn't have the period panties either. They'd all be ruined. I can tell you that right now. I wouldn't have my period panties like you girls. All my nicest panties destroyed. They'd all look like a Rorschach test.
So I can say that. Is that the answer? That
I was thinking more along the lines of like a mood.
I'd be a mess.
No, I think you might come full circle because you're such a dick all the time. Maybe come full circle.
I'd be crying.
Where is this man?
Anderson. Well, for now he's at Westwood One, but this time tomorrow he's going to be out on the street. He's fired. Yeah, I would be in a horrible mood at least a few days out of the month, and I'd have a hygiene problem.
Okay.
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 And I would force my men to go down on me during that time because I would say, prove you love me. That would be another thing I would do. Amy?
Yes.
You're 23?
Mm-hmm. I am.
What's happening?
Well,
you haven't had your period in 11 months?
No, I haven't.
Oh, we're just talking about me and my period.
That's why we're taking Amy's call.
Man, are you good?
I read ahead. Okay, so go ahead, Amy. What's up? 11 months without a period because you got a hormone shot?
I did. I went to the clinic, and they gave me a shot, and I'm supposed to have my period in 2 weeks.
Okay, so you probably got just a short-acting progesterone shot. You don't remember the name of what you got, right?
No, I don't.
Okay. So did anybody before giving you this shot talk to you about why you may not have periods?
No.
They did a pregnancy test. I mean, I'm sure there are certain things that they did.
They did a pregnancy test and stuff, and they told me that if I didn't start, that I should get on the pill. But I don't really want to, and I want to know if is this like a serious thing? Am I?
It can be, Amy. It all depends on what hence the question about why this started in the first place. For example, there are some thyroid disorders can cause this. There are prolactinomas that can cause it. There are certain things other than pregnancy that would lead you not to have periods. Is this the first time you've gone this long without a period?
Yeah, I was always regular before.
You were?
Yeah.
How much do you weigh?
120.
And how tall are you?
5'6".
Is there anything going on lately as far as exercise, changes in your diet? Was there something going on lately for you, Amy, or in the last year?
No. Well, over the summer, I went to Alaska, and I was a deckhand on a halibut charter boat.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a lot of physical.
Wow. Changes.
Did you lose a lot of weight during that time, Amy?
No. If anything, I gained weight. So I gained muscle, but I didn't like gain size.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of halibut boat, that's what I would smell like down there during my period.
Thank you
for that picture.
Yeah.
And so basically, Amy, you do need to be seen by somebody. I don't know who's giving you the shot, but this might be a time to actually get a small little evaluation, a hormonal evaluation, looking at a couple things that can cause this, because some of these things can be actually fairly serious.
Well, they did blood work. Is that?
They're good. That's exactly right. So, they've been working
out. We got to start talking about halibut for a second. What's the biggest halibut you guys pulled up?
Like 290, probably.
290?
Yeah, that sounds like huge.
A lot. That's a big-ass halibut.
Yeah.
Aren't they kind of flat, too? And
oh, yeah, they're flat on the ground.
Donna knows halibut. 290-pound halibut?
Mm-hmm.
How big was that thing?
I can't picture it.
No, I can't picture a fish weighing 290. Well, I mean, you can picture it, but to haul it in on the boat sounds like sounds worse than digging a ditch.
I don't know. I would be very excited pulling up a 290-pound halibut. Is this for a commercial fishing thing, or is this like a charter thing?
It was charter fishing, so we had a six-pack license, so we could have six clients on our boat.
Oh, my God. And how did that guy get that 290-pound halibut up?
Oh, well, me and the captain had to do it. We had to shoot it. You shoot, if it's a big fish, you shoot it with a gun.
Shoot.
And then
wow.
And bring it in the fish. Like, you bring it in the
I can't boat. Even envision it.
All right, no, hold on a second. See, this is why we can't talk to our callers about whatever the problem is. We got to talk about whatever
yeah.
I'm interested in.
But I put my two cents in, so take over.
Yeah,
Adam.
You're done.
I'm done. Yeah.
This is vastly more exciting than your non-period, which is okay. So now you got a guy. Is he strapped in? Is he in a fighting chair?
No, my captain was actually a female.
But what I'm saying is
the customer.
Yeah, why?
Oh, the customer.
Yeah.
Most of the time, either me or the captain reeled in the fish. And we just wore a belt, and the belt had like an anchor on it, and you put the pole in the belt that went around your waist.
Oh, I thought the customer would be doing that.
Yeah, but why are they paying you to do
hold
this?
On a second. I know, that's
so
why I hate talking to people who call this show.
Watching you pull in the halibut that they paid you for. It's a chartered boat, right?
That's part
How does
of the
this
excitement.
Work? Yeah.
You
yeah,
have to reel
I,
in the...
I don't know.
Hmm.
Why don't you just go? Ask, why don't you get on dry land and just wait at the restaurant until the halibut shows up? You really want.
You're missing out on everything.
So no wait, Amy.
Yes.
Is there a fighting chair on the boat? I just want to know.
No, there's no seating on the boat.
What's that?
There's no
fighting chair
on the boat. No.
There's no what?
I think she said feeding.
Do you think fighting chair? I don't
yeah,
know what
it, it's a chair that you sit in. You strap
no.
yourself in.
No, there's no seating on the boat.
Oh, no seating on the boat. Okay, mm-hmm. So you strap yourself down to something and that's not a seat.
Well, I'm not anchored to the boat at all, no. I'm reeling in the fish.
You're reeling in the fish.
I'm basically wearing a belt that the pole can sit in.
Right.
And where's the customer? What are they doing?
They'd be like right next to me watching me reel in the fish. They would start and then they get tired. You're fishing at like...
Okay,
they get tired. No, could they reel in the fish, though? If they wanted to, could they reel in the fish?
If they wanted, yeah, but usually, okay. I mean, if they had
You're right.
Fish,
we got, okay, but you gotta understand. Here's another hallmark of our college. They think we were there. Whatever it is they're describing, it's if they're describing to someone who was standing there, so they leave out a lot of the big stuff because it's like a movie that we saw.
Right.
With them, you see? That's it. But we're asking them to explain the movie, and they're kind of like, well, you remember when Frodo... no, I don't remember that. No.
Wasn't there.
All right, so 290 pounds. So the person hooks up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Amy?
Yeah?
What are you, an angry dyke? What's up with you?
No, I'm not an angry dyke.
All right,
dyke.
Are we boring you? Look, hey, did we call you at your house to bug you about hormones and fishing, or did you call this goddamn show? Why don't you wake up and stop acting like we're bothering you with our incessant questions about halibut? Uh-huh. What? Oh. Jesus Christ, you sound like a snob.
Oh, that's so mean.
All right, well, loosen up a little, baby. We're asking about your goddamn fishing. Jesus Christ. Like, what are you, ATF agents just kicked in your front door? You got some fugitive boyfriend that's hiding under the bed and you're not talking?
No.
I'm asking about a halibut.
Okay, what do you want to know?
God, where's your dad? Was he mean to you? Who was
no.
mean to you? Where's
no,
your dad?
No, this is mean to me.
Why are
My
you
dad.
Angry? You angry at
She's
men?
She's got 11 months of PMS saved up.
And how can you yeah. how can you work on a halibut boat and not be a lesbian?
Well, I left for Alaska to actually get away from an ex-boyfriend.
All right. Abusive, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. And dad wasn't half a prick?
No, my dad's a good father.
Really?
Yeah, I have a great father.
Your biological dad's a good one, but the stepdad, he was mean, right?
No, I don't have a stepfather.
All right.
Well, that's why
she
left the old boyfriend.
I got to get back to halibut.
Yeah, get back to halibut.
So all right, the guy hooks up with the halibut. He gets tired. Yeah. It's a 290-pound fish. He hands it off to you or, God love me, the captain's got to be lesbian. She's a captain
no,
of a halibut
not.
Ship. What's that?
No, she grew up in the town.
Okay, anyway.
It was a small town in Alaska.
All right, hands it off. You guys reel it up. At what point do you take the gun out and shoot the fish?
Well, I'd be reeling. Once you can see the fish coming to the surface, and she'd have the gun in the hand, and she'd shoot
She would shoot it when she saw it, you know, getting tired coming up.
Yeah, and you let it, you let the blood drain out of the fish so that way it weighs less. Because otherwise, you're trying to...
Gaff it on board.
Yeah.
And then down goes the gaffer's hooks, and everyone just drags it on board.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And how much? By the way, when you shoot the fish in the water, how long you got to hang out, and how much blood? I mean, are you going to lose 5 pounds, or you know what I mean? Like, how much weight's a thing going to lose in blood just sitting there?
Oh, I don't know. We usually just let it hang over for maybe like 10 minutes.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Man,
try not to do it unless it was a really big fish because they attract, you know, blood attracts sharks.
Sure,
sharks loved our bait. So
really,
if you reel in a shark, that
290-pound halibut. That's awesome. All right, thanks, Amy. I appreciate that.
Wow, Adam, you enjoyed that call.
I just
did
290. I mean, look, you catch like an 18-pound striper.
Yeah.
It's like that's a huge fish.
Huge.
I mean, you hold like a 24-pound bass up. It's like, holy Christ, see the guy's holding it. It's like I'm holding a kid, you know. I mean, it's huge. 290-pound, everybody.
Yeah. I caught a 7-pound bass before, and that's huge. I can't imagine what a 290-pound fish is.
Look, I just like the idea where you're going in and getting the firearms.
Yeah.
We're going to put a bullet in this thing before it comes up.
That's serious fish there.
Yeah.
That's a big
fish.
What
do you do with all that?
I don't know. I think you gotta mount it. You can't eat it.
It's been shot.
290.
I mean, by the way,
mount it.
That's the captain's got to be a lesbian. She's
trying to. You know what going, I imagine?
Yeah.
I imagine Alaska. I mean, like, Alaska. I mean, you have to be nuts to live there, don't you?
And then, I think so. Or born there.
And then, like, to move there.
So your
there.
Parents are nuts.
Okay, but then you, like, I mean, how horrible was this relationship for her to move to Alaska?
I mean, I know.
This is horrible.
I know. I guess there's no foreign legion for women, so they got to move to Alaska. All right. I could have scrapped. I'm telling you, there was something there.
Okay.
Could have got to it.
Not disagreeing, but
too much fish talk, not enough relationship talk. But I'm telling you, there was something that was there with the abusive boyfriend and moving to Alaska.
Yeah,
but anyway, God bless. 290-pound halibut. All right. Donna D'Errico is here. She's about 118-pound halibut, yes?
Halibut. Oh, thank you.
No, I mean, that's nice. No, that's a term of endearment. Dr. Ben filling in for Dr. Drew. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. He's filling in for Dr. Drew. He's OGBYN and knows all the kid stuff and the gynecology stuff, but he's a doctor too, and a lover, it's really, and a day laborer. Those are really his claims to fame. Donna D'Errico is here tonight. Comic book, the movie, it's out on DVD. She plays Liberty Lass, and it's got a lot of big names involved with this, so including Kevin Smith and Hefner, Stan Lee, and other names.
Mark Harmon. Hamill.
Mark Hamill. And Mark Harmon's and someone else.
Comicbookthemovie.com. Okay. You can go check it all.
And we just got off the internet and looked at a halibut that looked like it went about 100, maybe 110, 120 pounds. So we're doing a little halibut shopping.
No bullet hole, though.
No.
We didn't see a bullet hole in any of the fish.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get back to the phones. And Juan wants a vasectomy. But Kristen over there is having an affair with a doctor she works for.
Uh-oh.
Sounds more provocative. I'm going with Kristen. Kristen?
Go for it.
Hello?
You're having an affair with a doctor you work for.
Yeah.
He's 33 and has kids.
Uh-oh.
Yes. I've been seeing him off and on. Well, I see him almost every day. Mm-hmm. He always comes down and says hi and stuff like that, and we've gone out to lunch many times.
You said you work for him, so I...
Yeah.
I assume you'd see him.
Clinic, yeah.
Right, okay. Because Ben was telling me off the air he nails a lot of his staff workers, too, and then made me promise not to mention anything on the air. Ooh. Oops.
Now, he says that he wants to move slow.
Oh, my God.
He's married and has kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me translate. Wants to move slow. I would like to bang you for as long as possible before you get tired of it and eventually lay down an ultimatum, which I ignore.
We haven't had sex.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
I mean,
maybe worse.
We've done.
What have you done? Oral sex?
Yes.
All right. All right.
Why is that not sex? Where is that not sex?
I don't know. And to me, I swear to God, if my mate was going to cheat on me, I'd rather have her F some guy than blow some guy. I really would. It's more egregious somehow. That's all the bad part without any of the love. Yeah, at least if you're humping someone, maybe you're in love with them. The BJ is just gratuitous.
But I would like it to be more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would too.
I see. Just, and where were you? Where were you guys able to steal away to?
He drove me home one night.
Ah, and he just got a little action in the car.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Well, who says chivalry is dead? By the way, just drove home, unzipped his fly, let you get a little busy there. He sounds like a delight. But he's a father, right?
Yes, he has a 5-year-old and an 11-year-old.
A 5-year-old and an 11-year-old. And
a wife.
And a wife. Who's,
yeah.
Yeah, here's the other thing that sounds strange. He's 33.
That's an 11-year-old.
And this isn't the first time it's been known for him to cheat on his wife.
Oh, well, hold on a second. He's just 33?
Yeah.
And he has an 11-year-old, and he's a doctor?
Yeah.
Nah, something's missing. He's older, and you've changed his age, so
no,
people wouldn't... How do you crank out a kid and become a doctor at that young age? It just seems
it's
like
possible,
the odds are stacked against
you. Yeah, it's possible.
All right, so he's done this before.
Yes.
So what makes you think you're the last one?
Oh, it's not that I think I'm the last one. I just would like this to move.
Move forward to where, though? I mean, but look, it's like there's a cliff in front of you. You're saying, I want a mile before I hit that cliff instead of 100 feet before I go off the edge of the cliff. Either way, you got to get off the road, not extend it. You know what I'm saying? You're not going anywhere.
So what,
you're wanting him to leave his wife and kids and hook up with you?
What's the goal? What's the ultimate goal, Kristen?
Well, yeah,
Where's this going?
Kind of a catch-22, because if he leaves his wife, I'm in the position where, okay, you know, what if he does this again to some, you know...
What if?
Else?
When does he
He's got to Listen, Kristen, okay, listen to me. He's a flawed guy. You're being kind of naive, and maybe you're being vulnerable, and there's a little self-esteem issues here. And, of course, it's always exciting to have some guy with a degree who you sort of work for and or look up to, or both, you know, showing an interest in you. Don't mistake it for love, and please understand this is not a good guy. And you're 22. You should be dating some 27-year-old guy who's free and clear, who wants you can have a future with. There's zero future with this guy.
But that's just the thing. He is a really good guy. He's one of the nicest guys I know.
Yeah, that's called sociopath. This is how all these guys work. You understand? This is how they get into the apartment so they can rape and kill their victims, because they're sweet guys.
But plus, he's somebody else's sweet, nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone else's sweet, nice dad, too.
And if you're worried about hooking up with him and then him doing it to you and how crushed you'd feel, that's what's happening to his wife right now.
The question
is,
we break up or
find somebody that's not married.
What's wrong with your self-esteem?
Exactly.
Nothing.
All right, then just find a regular guy who's free and clear. This has gone on far enough. You're going to dig yourself in deeper. It's going to be disaster. You're going to get jilted. You're going to threaten to call the guy up, and he's going to have a drifter kill you. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
If I had a nickel for every time I had to get a drifter to, you know, clean up a little mess, as I like to call it, I'd be a rich man. Rich man.
You get drifter calls? You get... killed by a drifter calls?
No. I have to call.
No, he makes the phone call.
You make the phone calls for somebody.
Ben, you never know what I'm talking about.
Not after 11:30. At this point, I'm...
Look, you're all burnt out from digging all day.
That's right.
You're a mess.
I am.
What about the commitment to the show? What about the kids? Yeah? Donna.
You know what?
See, Donna took a nap today.
If we really want...
Donna's got a nice charge on her batteries.
Yeah.
You just...
I'm fading.
You're fading.
But I can tell you this much. If we were like that woman from Alaska with the captain... I would have gaffed the fish. You would have shot it in the head.
I would have shot you. I would have shot you.
Where were you when I needed help today?
As soon as you got that fish on board, pow, next bullet right in your head. Then we chum you up, make a nice slick of remembrance. Nice chum slick of remembrance. Yep, look at Dr. Ben drawing up world-class trophy fish. That's the way he would have wanted it. All right, let's take a break.
Again?
I don't have the energy to talk to anyone else.
Again?
All right, has kids, is married. All right.
Let's talk to Juan.
Juan?
Yeah.
You're 24.
Juan, is he on a sub?
Pacemaker.
He's on a sub.
I'm at a grocery store right now.
Juan, what's going on over there, buddy?
I'm at a grocery store right now.
Okay.
Checking out.
Yeah. Well, I already had my consult with the doctor for a vasectomy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I want to know if there's any... You know, I don't know if there's anything if he didn't tell me long term, you know, that it may occur long term down the line or anything.
No.
Can I ask Juan some questions? Juan, Dr. Ben, I just want to know 24, you want irreversible permanent sterilization. You're 24.
Exactly.
The answer would be yes.
Okay.
Well, first,
because there are other options for birth control. I mean, you're 24.
Well, no, my wife, she's on the patch right now. You know, but we don't want. We're done. But she gets really bad side effects. She's already tried the pill. She's had the shot, and she's
picturing,
got really bad side effects from the birth control.
Okay.
Picturing Juan with about $700 worth of strained peas all going across the thing, the little Gerber's thing. What do you got? Three kids?
Yeah. Well, I have two and a stepchild.
Two and a stepchild.
Yeah,
that's enough.
Okay, I mean, not that there's, you know, necessarily, if you guys are that certain, you don't want any more children, obviously, you know, you should approach it as an irreversible procedure. But
they do talk about being reversible.
Yeah, but you shouldn't, like any surgical sterilization procedure, you should really approach it as this is it. And then the other thing, Juan, again, just a suggestion. Your wife could consider an IUD. I don't know if she's ever tried that. No medications on board. Just as good as having her tubes tied, and yet is reversible, and you wouldn't have... I mean, there are other options for you, but let's assume that none of those options are good enough for you. There was some
Into the truck now.
I tell you where Juan's question is coming from. There was an article based on, actually, what turns out to be too few patients that did make an association between vasectomies and prostate cancer.
Too few patients to make an actual study.
Yes, although in that study, there was some statistical significant difference. When they repeated the study using a much larger group of patients, the assessment from that previous study was overturned. And now we do not think that there's any association between vasectomies and prostate cancer. So at this point, we do not see any, let's call it, down-the-line consequences to having a vasectomy, other than for a 24-year-old having permanent irreversible
sterility. He's got two kids. That's plenty.
Okay.
What do you need to do?
He knows what he's gotten counseling, and he knows what he's getting into, and the answer to his question is, it's safe.
All right. Let me say this. I was talking with Drew. Oh, Christ, is it Drew? I've had so many damn doctors here in the last few days. Maybe it was Drew, but we were talking about the IUD. Got a bad rap in the 70s or the 80s.
Yes, it did. The death
But it's back. It's back big time. An idea that you can insert this paperclip in your coos and you're good for 8 years or something crazy.
10 years
is pretty nutty. I mean, it's something I think a lot of women might not have on their birth control
list.
Chart of options.
Right.
They got the pill and the patch and the injections and stuff, and everyone's always freaked out about the hormones and the mood swings and all that kind of stuff. You can essentially, stop me if I'm wrong, go see a doctor. He can do this very simple procedure, and you cannot worry about taking a pill or having any hormonal side effects or anything, and be as safe
as having your tubes tied.
As having your tubes tied for 10 years.
That's correct.
I mean, this should be, you know, front page news kind of stuff, should it not?
It's the Dacron shield completely incapacitated people's ability to think about the IUD as a viable option in this country. If you look at Europe, where the Dacron shield issue was really not an issue, their use per population is more than five times what our use is in this country. So the ramifications of all those horrible stories in the 70s with that particular IUD device are still affecting us today. And that is, when I sit across the table and talk to a patient about all of her birth control pill options, including an IUD, I can almost sense, as soon as I say the word IUD, there's so many bad thoughts associated with that that's I have to overcome like 30 years of prejudice on that one.
That was the Dacron, what shield?
Uh-huh.
Which one?
The Dacron shield.
Dacron. My dad had a sport coat, I think he called the Dacron shield, during his single days in the 70s when he would step out. He had a pick with a fist in it and stuff. Oh, yeah. Platform shoes.
That works for birth control.
Oh, my God. Do you realize the emotional scarring of having your parents get divorced in, like, 1973 and have your dad go from looking like Fred McMurray to Mr. Hip?
To Superfly.
Yeah, Superfly.
Yeah.
Go out and get some new threads.
Yeah.
He's a single man now.
Yeah.
Got the jeans that zip, got cinch up in the front and in the back.
Ew.
My God.
Like Larry from Three's Company. Didn't we talk about him?
Yeah. Maybe.
That's him.
He's Larry.
Big old picking that Brillo head out.
Wow.
Stepping out. Got to impress the young ladies. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're single.
Yeah.
How about the piece of S you're driving in the crappy apartment you're living in? Do you think that might hurt the hand just a little bit? Maybe just a little. Yeah. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little bit of a break. Donna D'Errico here tonight. The Dr. Ben is here tonight. Back to life, by the way.
Yeah.
Hit, yeah, second win.
It's the water.
Second win. He's going to fade.
Thanks,
he's,
Lauren, we'll
take
the water.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Donna D'Errico is here tonight. Comic book, the movie, which you can go to
comicbookthemovie.com. That's right.
Find that DVD, lots of big names. And if you're into comic books or just a fan of comedy.
And 100% improv. There was no script.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you're a fan of improv, then you wouldn't be a fan of improv if you're listening to this show. But if you are, you go to that www. Yeah?
That's right. Comicbookthemovie.com.
And go pick up the DVD. All right. Back to the phones we go. Who do you want to talk to?
Sarah's fine.
Sarah?
Clovis. Some, where's Sarah?
Hello?
Hey, Sarah. Where's Clovis?
Right outside of Fresno.
Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you. I learned something.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I was wondering if it was, like, pointless to take birth control pill, like the shot, and also take breast enhancement pills that increases fertility.
Breast enhancement pills that increase fertility.
So, Sarah, first of all, are you currently taking something that purports to make your breasts bigger?
No, I wanted to know about it first before I decided to take anything.
I am not aware of any product that actually does that. So I'm not aware of any oral product, not aware of anything like that, other than, you know what's interesting here, Sarah, for you? Birth control pills can make your breasts a little bigger. They contain estrogen, and that actually would work. So if you need contraception, birth control pills are a great idea. And as a nice little side effect for you, if that's what you're looking for, they might make your breasts a little bit bigger. Why don't you do that?
Yes. And listen, everybody, no pill does anything. It just doesn't. I mean, listen, if you get a prescription, maybe you can stop a little acid reflux or something.
Okay.
But making your penis bigger, making your boobs bigger, right. it's all nonsense.
Yeah, it's
please.
Nonsense.
They just prey upon people, and it's unfair that these poor, feeble-minded, desperate people got to drop their last $37 on some ISIS or some sort of pick some Greek god or goddess and then they name a pill after and it's all just a bunch of ephedrine and crap and it's nonsense. We had Dr. Alter, the unfortunately named Dr.
Alter.
Alter
who's
here.
Trying to alter people?
Doc Alter is one of the few guys who does a gender reassignment.
Oh boy, that's a tough racket. That's major.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes.
How was he to talk to?
He's an interesting chap.
Yeah.
I made plenty of fun of him. Don't worry.
Well,
I've abused him verbally for quite some time. But with that being said, he is a guy who holds. He's board certified in plastic surgery and in urology.
Yeah.
And is quite a brilliant
guy. He's got to be.
Oh, listen, I mean, like, make all the fun you want to.
No, I'm not making fun of it. I think
he'll turn your Pepe into a hoo-choo. I mean, he'll take your penis, make it into a vagina. And
I believe
that's some creativity.
Got to be able to hook up the plumbing.
Sure. Every... They have to be brilliant.
Oh, my God. But boy, her parents pissed. But the point is, we talked to him about the penis enhancement. He's done a little of that and the pills and stuff. And it's here's the point. I've never spoken to a doctor, and I've spoken to many, many doctors who come through here about any pill that really worked for any kind of enhancement of really anything, and especially the non-prescription stuff you see advertised on late-night television or perhaps this radio show.
Okay.
So, ignore it. It's junk. And they give you that money back guarantee stuff. They know the certain percentage of the population A is going to think their boobs. I give them a frozen pee. They think their boobs got bigger if I told them made their cans bigger. Number one, number two, they're stupid and they're embarrassed. You give them a run around. They never get their money back. Mm-hmm. You guys are charlatans. That's
you
all.
Guys,
you guys, you doctors.
Okay.
No, the people that are putting these products out. And same with the guy stuff. This is junk.
Yeah.
And there's never any conclusive evidence that means that it works. And right. And listen, everybody, just because somebody says it's guaranteed or we give a money back guarantee, who cares? So they send the money back to 10 people. Meanwhile, 10,000 didn't get their money back, and they make their money.
Sure.
All right. See you folks in hell, by the way. People have put that crap out. Where are we? Who are we talking to? What's going on? Lip ring?
Lip ring's a good,
yeah.
good one.
What happened to the part where you were going to put little stickers by the calls?
The sticker doesn't even stick anymore. I put it by the thing, it just falls off.
All right, so now I point and you go, yeah, that's
you know
good.
What? For last,
that's the one you were going to do, Kristen?
Listen, for the last...
Did you force me to have that thought?
Okay, think about my back and realize that for 90 minutes, I did do the sticker.
Okay, all right.
For 30 minutes, you can
right.
do it.
No, that's as a doctor, you know that performing 75% of the procedure would be enough. So when you're delivering a baby,
now.
Kid's head starts to crown, that's done.
Yeah.
You're there for over three
sure.
hours. It's time to walk.
And 9 months of prenatal care.
That's right.
Come on, give me some credit for the office stuff.
Look, I said it. When I used to be a carpenter, I was at a guy's house working, and I got almost done with his job, and then I was done. And he said, I get it. He said, you're one of these 90 percenters. You get to 90%, but you never finish. Just get to 90%, and then you walk.
Right.
And I said, you know what? I'm a 75% who gave you an
90%.
Extra 15%.
Yeah.
You got to start thinking about it that way.
That's right.
So Ben over here.
I was a 50% and I gave you 75%.
Who came in and brought his 25% in
extra.
Here. And he brought his C game, everybody. And he's a D game
just
guy.
Just for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, now I have a completely different take on the whole
you.
Thing.
And I expect a thank you at the end of
thank
the
night. You.
Okay. I got it early, gang.
Nicole?
Nicole.
Yeah.
She's been on hold for over an hour. She's
minutes.
Sleeping.
All right, so be it. We got to take a break. We'll be back after this.
Thank you.
Sorry about that little vacation story, Anderson. I know that must have stung. Did you hear that, Anderson?
Yeah, I heard the tail end and the beginning.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy. Engineer Anderson back at Westwood 2 over there. And like I said, if someone would be man enough to take a torch to that dump, we could all be put out of our misery. Engineer Anderson could come over here.
Yeah.
All right. That is the show. I want to thank Donna D'Errico for coming in here tonight. You kids can go to www.comicbookthemovie.com, figure out where you can get that DVD. Always a delight. Always
thank
a
you.
Pleasure.
Great to be here.
Dr. Ben. Fantastic, buddy.
You got that extra 25%.
Extra boost us right up to 75.
Right.
I want to thank Engineer Chris for pulling up pictures of Halibut all
Thanks,
night. And
Chris.
You're doing a fantastic job. He's amazing, this kid over here. I want to thank producer Junior producer Lauren. And
Thanks, Lauren.
Producer Ann for doing a great job, right. booking great guests all week. Phone screener Brian. Oh, the heard but not seen and not even heard. Phone screener Brian doing
He's
a great job.
With
and, of course, our favorite disgruntled employee, Engineer Anderson, doing a great job on those potentiometers all week long. So until next time, Sam Kroll for Dr. Ben.
Saying?
Mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.